even with a small channel, there are ways you can start earning money via YouTube. In fact, one of the challenges is the sheer number of potential options that are out there, including everything from digital products to affiliate offers, merch, consulting services, and more. As a result, what happens is that some YouTubers get overwhelmed by the sheer amount of choice and then just decide to put it off for a while. Or they'll try to pursue a bunch of things at the same time, making it hard to make progress on any particular thing, and the frustration resulting from that leads to setting the whole thing aside. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's what I learned from my conversation with Matt Hughes, the King of Video. Matt has over a decade of experience as a video content creator. He's grown his YouTube channel to over 2,800 subscribers, and he's built a successful business with multiple streams of revenue on top of his YouTube channel. In other words, Matt has already done what many small channels are aiming to do someday, and in this episode, he shares some key advice that could help you do the same. So, let's get into it. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, glad to connect with you to talk about YouTube. As you know, I'm working on my own YouTube channel, and a lot of my audience is into content creation on different platforms. And YouTube seems to be a great opportunity for creators. But, you know, it's tough when you're starting out and you got a small channel, trying to build the channel. Some people are also trying to do monetization at the same time, and it becomes challenging to do it in parallel. So I think sometimes people approach it as like, I'll build my audience first and then I'll monetize. What's the kind of approach that you recommend? Do you recommend doing it in parallel or audience building first or maybe business first?
Yeah, well, do you know what, Tim? You said something there and just wanted to ask you a question. You said sure. It's tough for small creators. What do you think it is about small creators that's tough? What is it that you said? Why is it you said the word tough?
Yeah, I think it's because a lot of small creators are doing this part time. And so there's only a certain amount of time they can devote to content creation or developing the business end. And so that, you know, that's where the friction point is for those creators to make progress.
Okay, got you. Okay, cool. So, and your question was?
What do you focus on first, or do you try and do both in parallel?
Okay, yeah. It's a really tough question, using that word again. It's a really tough question because actually it depends on where the person's at. And mm-hmm. And this is why I kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit because, you know, if you're a business and you're an established business and you've got an income stream somewhere else, like it's okay to add in this social media platform and bring that into a current marketing strategy and you won't right. feel like it's tough or it's difficult to get started because you're just expanding what is already embedded marketing strategy. However, if that's not the case and you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, which platform do I start with? Mm-hmm. And I can see that actually the quick wins for Instagram Reels or TikTok right. might be more of a exciting option because you get instant gratification from those with the views right. and stuff and the way those platforms work. So when it comes to building an audience, I would say, look at where you are first, as sort of how your business is set up. And then I'm always going to say, go and start on YouTube. And yeah. you know, I've been saying a lot recently, there's this Mr. Beast quote about, you know, your first 200 videos are terrible, so you may as well start creating them now.
Right.
Actually, I try to think about it in a different way. And I think there's no doubt that YouTube is a longer play. There's some unicorns that seem to hit a million subscribers in a year or they mm-hmm. can do things lots quicker. But it is a long-term play. I think you've got to really think about it as like, if I'm doing a podcast or if I'm doing something where I'm creating these, what I call signature asset, each yeah. video is a signature asset, then you may as well start creating them now. You know, you can only get better from this right. point. So why not get started with whatever equipment you've got available to you and then just keep improving every week. Just focus on that. No, don't focus on what everyone else is doing, what views right. and subscribers. Just like, how can I make a better video next time compared to the one that I've got today?
Yeah, but that is a challenge to have that discipline, I think, to not look at what other creators are doing, as you say, and seeing the results they're getting because you don't know where they've started from. You don't know what kind of team they might have supporting them.
and just kind of focus on improving your own content creation and the business foundation.
Yeah, and it's not to say don't do your research, you know, like look at trends and look at things that are working well for people. You should absolutely do that, even competitor research, if you want to call it that on YouTube. But it's more about like looking at people's results. So I think what you said there, you don't know what they are at. Like a lot of the times you're looking at year three of somebody's journey and you're starting on day one. Or even day minus four if you're launching in a week or two or whatever, you know. So just, you've just got to think like, what are my personal goals? What am I doing this for? Why am I trying to get this out there? Be realistic with your goals. You know, if you think you're going to be a viral sensation in a couple of weeks, the chances are it's very unlikely. It can happen. And just stay focused in like, who am I making these videos for? Why am I doing it? Right. Am I enjoying the process?
Right.
And then be consistent with that in your mind. And you will get results. Like, you know, I've never met somebody who has started a channel that hasn't got results. They might not get the results as fast as they want.
Right.
But they always get new subscribers. They always get more views. And it's a compounding effect. So the longer you're doing it, the more you're publishing stuff, the better it.
True. And sticking with it through that period. And for a long time, I was stuck at like 10 subscribers and now I've got like 50 and it feels like, wow, that's a dramatic improvement. But I know it's not a lot for some channels, but that is the kind of thing that happens when you keep going, right? Now the base is 50, right?
You just work on percentages, because when you look at a percentage increase, especially when you're starting, the percentages are huge.
Right.
So if you ever need to feel like it's a big deal, going from 10 to 50 is what, 500%, right?
That's a 500% increase.
Yeah. So that's huge. You'll never get these increases in percentage-wise ever again. You know,
right.
It's always bigger at the start. And then the big YouTubers, they're on like 0.5% in a year, you know, but they're getting 10, 20,000 people or whatever.
Or trying to maintain, I guess that becomes the problem as you get larger.
Yeah. How could you keep it at like 5% growth every month, year on year sort of thing? And so use the percentages. That'll keep you motivated, you know, and just be okay that sometimes you do a video and it bombs. It doesn't do as well. One of my videos, I made it answering a question for somebody because I kept answering this question over and over again. And it didn't really take off until COVID happened. And then all of a sudden, everybody needed that video. And it was like a year and a half after I published it. So like, if you know you're making the content, it's great for your ideal audience and it's good and it's evergreen, then you never know. It could just take off at any point. You might be able to tweak something and it will take off.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a video that I did months ago and it didn't seem to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden, you know, it picked up. It was a short video. So like it definitely happens. So let's say a creator, they realize that monetization is one of the things they need to do if they want to move towards doing it full time. What steps do you normally recommend they go through when thinking about that process?
So this is about your overall strategy, your business strategy more than anything. Mm-hmm. So if you can try and think about it from a business perspective, still want to have fun, still want to do stuff that you love, but think about like, what are the kind of things that I would need to do as a business owner to take the audience that I'm creating on YouTube and get them into a list or get them into a program or get them to buy a course or something like that. And they're really simple things. You'll see YouTubers say, I'm just using this product, check out the link in the description. Or they'll say, if you want to go and join my community, we've got a private community over on Discord. The link's in the description. Come and join us and you can connect with me. You know, as human beings, we want connection. And when you're offering people who are viewing your content, who like the way you sound, who like what you've got to offer, any way you can give them to get closer to you, not to come to your house, but get closer to you, whether it's in a community, whether it's in a course, a program. Do you know what? Mr. Beast put some merch out the other day and I looked at it and I was like, quite like a bit of Mr. Beast merch. And I didn't realize it. I'm almost 40 years old. I'm like, I didn't realize that was a thing in my brain. And here I am considering buying Mr. Beast merch. So it's just, you've got to think about these different types of monetization strategy that are going to bring people towards you or help them tell the world that they're a fan of yours or a viewer of yours or something like that. And that can be, like I say, merch, courses, communities, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. And I like the strategy of trying to do a few of those. There's definitely, you know, some benefit to focusing on like, okay, I'm just going to create a course and focus on you know, getting people to subscribe to the course. But I think actually you can do things like affiliate marketing and merch you can mix in at the same time. So try and get some diversified income streams, even though it takes a little bit more at the upfront effort. I kind of like it as a strategy in terms of like long-term sustainability.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know, if you just started with one and you chose building an email list as the first one, which is probably the one we should all do.
Right.
And you can do that. You don't have to say to them, go and subscribe to my newsletter. It could be join my community, but part of that joining process is getting them on your email list, or go and get you talked about lead magnets in one of your episodes the other day, you know, go and grab my freebie on how to do this particular thing. So we're talking about YouTube now. If I said, if I said I've got a freebie on like the 10 best monetization strategies for a YouTuber, now we're in this conversation, of course you'd be like, oh yeah, great, I'll go and grab that now.
Yeah.
Should create that, shouldn't I, really?
That's a good one.
Yeah. We just thought about it offhand. But if I said that, you know, that's a something that people would go for. So if you think about your own audience, whatever niche or niche, as you guys say, that you choose, what's going to be something that they will say yes to straight away and that they'll go and give your email address to, that will help you get there.
That's a perfect segue into my next question here, which is about this question of the niche. And, you know, when you're starting out with a channel, is it beneficial to say like this channel's just iPhone tips and that's what the focus is? Or is it all smartphones? Or do you believe that a creator can actually just be the niche themselves and it's whatever they're doing? So they talk about iPhones one day, they talk about photography the next, and so on. What's the best way forward if you're looking to build your channel?
Yeah, I think if you can find that niche and really dial in on it, you've got a better chance to get loyal fans and followers who are going to come with you for the journey. And if it is as close and as far down that niche as you can go to, where an audience exists, don't go down to the niche of like dog owners on my street. You know, that's not a good niche to get into. But if you was like, dog owners in my city that had this particular breed, and then maybe you opened it up to the breed across the country later on. Like the finding those niches is good. And there's that old, I don't know where I read it. It was in one of the personal development books. It was about the band that everyone followed. And it was like, they had 1,000 loyal fans. It was Grateful Dead, that old marketing story that they had 1,000 loyal fans and they would buy all the tickets to all the shows. And that's all they needed was those 1,000 loyal fans. So if you can find that niche that does that, if you later on say, you know, I'm the Sony camera guy, and later on you decide you're going to go to Canon or, you know, some other brand of camera, that's okay. Some of the people will follow you because they then start becoming fans of you as the person.
Right.
And it's less about the niche. There's a guy, he's got a channel about Notion, you know, Notion, the note-taking app. A guy called Thomas Frank, and he grew this amazing channel. Now he's got a huge channel away from this Notion channel. So and there's something in the AI that, you know, says if you like Thomas Frank, you're probably going to like his Notion channel as well. So there's a bit of that going on. But he's got this huge Notion. Last time I looked, it was like 80,000-90,000 subscribers. Yeah. But he really went, Notion is a thing that I love. Notion's the one I'm going to go for. I'm just going to talk about Notion on this channel, nothing else. And I think that started off his main channel. So he had quite a broad channel before and then decided to niche in on that and just grow that channel. So it definitely works.
It's interesting. Sometimes I worry about product-based channels because I feel like I'm the Canon Rebel guy, and then Canon discontinues the Rebel.
Totally, yeah. Well, I suppose in that sense, you just do a follow-on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, like you say, you can carry some people with you, and then all the skills that you've built as a creator for that, in making videos about that product, that's what'll carry over. And like, it's amazing how there's some creators, they just have that skill. They could build a channel about anything, you know, because of the content creation skills they have.
Yeah. And I watched a session about with Tim Schmoyer, and he said he was talking about AI, and he talked about Google AI. I think he said it was like 2016. So, you know, imagine it's a long time ago, but he has this great SEO session where he shows a video and he shows how the AI can understand who's in the video. Even though it doesn't name them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about that, what you've just said about the skills that you get, it's not just the skills, but the viewers across the YouTube ecosystem that have been watching you and might not be subscribed and might not have seen you anymore. As you move and create something else, they will be shown your stuff anyway, because AI thinks they're interested in what you've got to say. which is dangerous in both ways, right? You could have a channel that's really controversial and they'll definitely find it. You can't hide that stuff. AI is going to show it to them for sure.
That's a good point. Yeah. We're always on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So is there a specific monetization option or set of options that you like as a YouTube creator?
I think courses is digital products in general, and it could be courses. It could be when I talked about Thomas Frankie has like a ultimate Notion template or something like that. Haven't you got a Notion thing? Didn't I see that on your website?
Yeah, I created a Notion template for like video content.
Video, yeah. So they're great digital products because it's, mm-hmm. you know, usually they're low product things and easy yes, people can say
yes
for that kind of stuff. But I've done coaching for right. you services. Anyone that's a service business that thinks, oh, you know, YouTube not for us because we're a service business, it's just mm-hmm. not true. And of course, the one that I think a lot of people forget about is website traffic.
Right.
You know, if you're doing stuff on YouTube, there's great links back to your website as well.
Right.
You know, as long as you put in that, when we create a YouTube video, we create a blog post on the website, we link to the YouTube video there and then back. And it's kind of like some people want to watch the video, but other people would want to read the right. contents of that as well. So giving them the option and creating that link juice as part of that.
That's one of the things I really like about YouTube content is that there's so many different things you can do with it. And
yeah.
I also like what you said about done for you services, because I think those are among the most highly monetizable. They probably require the most effort on the part of yeah. us as creators. But that's what I always kind of try to think back, like, what would people pay for? Like, I'll pay for having something done for me, you know?
Yeah.
But would you necessarily pay for, you know, for other things if it's just, you know, another checklist or something? Like, I don't know if I need another checklist because it's just something you have to go through again that might be more appropriate for a freebie.
Yeah, but, sorry, let me question that though, Tim.
Sure.
Right? So you're going to a festival for the first time with your family. You don't know what to take to a festival.
Yeah.
You've never been to one before. You're concerned because you're away from elements, you're in a field somewhere, and somebody's got the checklist, the ultimate checklist that tells you every single thing you need to know.
Yeah.
When you're going to a festival with a family, you know, like
right.
so we're dialing in on the niche again. All of a sudden, that checklist is like, okay, it's only $9.
Like
I'd pay for that checklist. Why?
That's got value, right? So I guess I've become jaded. I've seen so many low
of
value.
Of course, because we're marketers, Tim. Because we're marketers, we think we've seen it all, and then you know, the next thing, the next template or checklist you download, you. Just think of this conversation and go,
right.
Matt was right. I've been hooked in it again to yet another mailing list, you know.
Yeah, because it's focused on exactly what that person needs. And,
totally. Yeah. I mean, I did one. It was like a planner for YouTube. It's just like how to plan your year's worth of video content. It's actually part of my program now. I don't even give it away. I used to give it away for free. And I had so many people tell me it was so valuable. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it's a spreadsheet. It took me five minutes to create it. But had loads of people download that thing, you know. So again, being jaded as a marketer, but you also forget your expertise. So don't forget the newbies, and those people are just getting started.
That's true. And it reminds me too of the distinction between what the value you offer by packaging it up for people versus them having to search for it, because the answers to a lot of stuff is out there. You can even ask ChatGPT now, right? But you don't know about the quality of the answers you're getting back. You don't necessarily know how to assemble it all. So then, you know, we could Google how to get 100 subscribers on YouTube and find lots of information on that. But it's all kind of, some of it's contradictory, some of it's low quality. That's why people would buy, you know, from someone like yourself. Like, okay, Matt knows what he's doing. He's done this before. I trust his product. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's positioning as well. And so if I said to you, look, I'm going to Vid Summit, which is a YouTube conference in October. And if I came back, I said, right, I've just been to Vid Summit. I went to Mr. Beast's session and he gave us the 10 best tips that you need to get your first 100 subscribers. And in this workshop that I'm putting on Wednesday for $25, you can come and sit with me and I'll explain those in detail and give you more information. So I'm kind of leveraging his reputation. And I'm just the messenger of that. And I think that's enough. You know, you can leverage reputation like that. You can be the authority. And then if you're the authority in the space anyway, because you've got a blog or something like that, that gives you that, you know, just it coming from your words, your mouth, rather than ChatGPT, you know, which is super valuable. But You just don't know where the information's come from.
So we've talked about some success stories, but do you have any favorites you'd like to share about like a small creator who right now or recently has done really well and what was really the key to their success?
Yeah. So I thought about this and probably my favorite story that I tell is a business coach. And the reason I like this is because it's such a hard niche to find an audience for them. It's quite a broad, business coaching has a bit of a negative spin on it. Yeah. I think certainly in my world. And we worked with this person, I think it was about 16 weeks in total. And we were publishing a video every week. So my strategy when you work with me, is always just one video a week to start. And she had, I think in that time, 2000 views. Right. And so we talked about numbers before. The numbers didn't stack up. You know, it's not a lot of views. She had 150 subscribers. So again, that could have been her existing audience. It could have just been her existing audience watching. What happened is she got a cold lead from somebody that actually was mocking her video. So they came on and left a comment. We thought it was like a troll.
Right.
And we were like, oh my God, how could you? They said the music was too loud in the video. And I was like, oh my God. So we responded with kindness. I always say, you know, thank them for their time and attention and sort of praise them for letting you know. So you can take the feedback on board. Later on, couple more conversations, and that person became a coaching client for £6,000 for that particular coach. So, you know, 2,000 views, that's £3 per view, 150 subscribers. I didn't do the math on that, but, you know, work it out. It's a good amount of money per subscriber. Mm-hmm. That's a huge success, I think.
That's great. I love how it demonstrates, too, that people who you think may be trolls, they're not necessarily trolls, right? They're really just like, I would have enjoyed the video more if the music was less loud, but...
Yeah. I mean, if you're ever trolled, and if you're concerned about this, right, somebody that's trolling you or that says something negative towards you has got some kind of problem, and you don't know what that problem is. And I think that's the beauty of just responding with kindness and with love. It often just takes the guard down from these people, and they either leave and never come back again and find someone else to troll, or they could potentially become a client because... Actually, it was a call for help more than anything.
Right. And so what mistakes do you see creators making with their monetization strategies, and how can they avoid these?
Not having one is the biggest mistake, you know, like a lack of a strategy around a YouTube channel. And this is going back to what I said about the YouTubers I've met that are not business people. They just love the activity of whatever it is, and they want to create content. And as creators, we are not always thinking about the business side of things anyway, because it's an artistic representation of whatever we're doing. But actually, if you can be strategic and think about that ahead of time, then you can do your call to actions. You can make sure there's link in the comments. You can set up the affiliate schemes. Like all these things that could bring you value from day one can be in place from day one. And it just takes thinking about it in that boring business way. You know, to make sure when we do go viral, we could do get the funds.
Right.
And actually you see it and people say, so-and-so got 1 million views. If only they'd have buy from TikTok, there's a hashtag TikTok made me buy it or something like that.
Right.
And you see those creators that promote something, it gets 2-3 million views. And then there's people that break it down and say, if this person had used TikTok shop, they would have made $50,000. And they're like, oh my God, this is horrendous. You know, why did they not do it? They just didn't think about it strategically at the start, you know, because they were too wrapped up in the creation process.
Right. And I think there's a parallel to that with your content plan even. And I've been trying to get better at like, how does this video link to other videos I've made? So you can refer people back more. Strategically, I think when you start out, we're just making videos and they're not necessarily connected, or you don't know how they're connected, but there's that value of planning ahead. Like you said, then it becomes part of the business strategy. You can integrate, you can refer to other videos, and it just starts working together a lot better.
Yeah. And hey, anyone that's listening, listen to that, what Tim has just said again, because I can tell you now, if you look at the best YouTubers, the thing they do the most is you watch a video of theirs, they'll have 2 more videos, related videos in the description, and they will have put a card or two about other videos that you watch. A great guy that does this is Primal Video.
Yeah, absolutely. I've watched his channel.
Named Justin Brown. Justin is fantastic at that. I know it's him and his brother that work on that stuff, but you can't get out of that channel. You know, once you're in it, that's it. You're in the rabbit hole and you will stay there. just tells you like this is really relatable to what you're doing.
Exactly. And it's always like, oh, that video, it's the perfect follow-up to this one. Yeah. So they get those multiple views, which of course YouTube loves. And that is such a key strategy.
And actually it's important because if you think about being this is how you can break down your expertise. So a lot of the times we think we've got to give all the value and deliver all the things. But if I was to talk about a camera, you know, this Sony camera that I'm using now is a better camera for me. Why is it the best camera? Well, there's 100 functions, probably more, on this camera.
Right.
And I could talk about every one of them and then link back to each of the things, you know, as they seem appropriate. So really break it down into sort of digestible chunks for those people that have no idea about the topic. And they will thank you for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's so much easier to create those more digestible videos. Like I could much more easily create 10 short videos on my Canon camera than I could taking you through an hour tutorial. That, by the way, no one will probably watch the hour tutorial because you don't want to invest in how with a new channel, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then this kind of brings us to like, okay, we've talked a little about how to grow within YouTube. How about reaching outside of YouTube? And, you know, maybe you're developing some social media channels like Instagram or I guess we're calling it the X app now, and trying to use those methods to drive traffic to our channel. Do you think that is a good use of time for a small creator? Or do you think like, no, just go all in on YouTube and, you know, you want to build those channels, do it later when you've got a team to support you?
Yeah, well, so I'm just a lazy videographer, right? Like I want to do everything easy. So my desk here with my equipment, press a couple of buttons and everything's on, I'm ready to. And it's the same with promotion. You know, I want to do the least amount of effort for the best results. So like when I publish a video, I've got, I think, a Zapier that goes out and it publishes it Twitter. It goes to Facebook, a Facebook group that I've got, all of those things, you know, like I could promote them in a better way across those different platforms.
Right.
I think there's more context I could put around them. Right now, I'm not focused on Twitter. I'm not focused on LinkedIn. But it's still going out to them. And like people say, this is a terrible strategy. You know, you shouldn't just do everywhere. And I'm like, well, but I don't mind because I'm not using those platforms. And just a couple of extra views from those platforms, it might be the difference. It might be someone that sees me on LinkedIn and books me for a speaking gig somewhere. So why would I not just have it auto posted over there as well? Of course, if you've got a content repurposing strategy, you can make it a bit more specific to those, you know, making portrait videos for TikTok and Reels and all that kind of stuff. Yes, all of that is better. But it is, the one thing you said there was team, you know, that's you do that stuff when you've got a team.
Right.
Or if you're a creator that doesn't have a job, but that is doing all of this to grow. Another thing that Tim said earlier on was, if I can find something that's done for me, I prefer to pay for it. And as an almost 40-year-old, so would I. And I think it's definitely an older thing. Like when you're younger and you have got this desire to learn all the things, you're like, I'll put all the time because I've got more time and I don't necessarily value my time as much. But as you get older, you're like, okay, actually, I'm no good at decorating. So why would I do that myself? I'll pay someone to do that. Like I know what I'm good at. Focus on those things.
Yeah. The example for me there is my podcast cover. Yeah. I initially designed it myself. I'm not a graphic designer, so it was okay-ish. But then recently I hired, you know, a real graphic designer to do the work. And I thought it was incredible value because it's so much better. It wasn't terribly expensive and it having a big impact on the number of downloads that I've seen already. Just because it's like you're competing, you're one square competing with all those other squares on the podcast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Channel, look, right? The branding's so important, you know, and Tim, I would say part of that, I know you're saying about the promotion, it helps with that one square, but also I think internally for you as the creator, having something you're proud of, an image you're proud of, rather than that thing that like, oh, I hope nobody sees it because it's a little bit bad and I don't like it. So like, hey, I paid for this thing. I love it. I chose this. This is the one I was committed to. You want to share it more. So you've probably done more promotion of it as well than an additional impact on it.
And you know what was interesting? I think part of the resistance, I felt like, well, it all had to be created by me. Like, because this is more my brand. I should create everything. And I realize now how wrong that was.
Yeah,
but it's the same as editing. Uncommon among creators.
No. Entrepreneurs, you know, like we think that nobody can do it as good as us. But the truth is, unfortunately, that actually we're not the best for most of the tasks.
It's
somebody else is better.
Absolutely. And the more you can let go or outsource in a way. And,
yeah.
and I guess the focus is like the ideation, the delivery. And what else would you say? Like if I'm a YouTube creator, what's my highest leverage task that I want?
Well, I mean, just creating the video is the thing, right? For people like us that want to be the face of the channel, then yes, you are the creative, you are the talent. You've got to be able to show up in the best energy on camera. Everything else outside of that, I think, can be outsourced. I don't publish my videos anymore. I don't do the editing. I don't do the thumbnails, descriptions. We're just starting to move that away. You know, like I oversee all of this stuff, and I sometimes ask for changes on certain things. But even the approval of the videos, like sometimes I don't see what my video looks like in the end because I don't want to watch myself again. So yeah, I think for me, I want to focus on the creation and ideation. You said ideation. You know, I will say my team is helping me with that as well, but I get to decide which videos I want to create, because actually, especially if it's about your expertise, you've got to be confident that you're going to be able to deliver on that promise as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of time management, we talked about, you know, outsourcing, repurposing. Is there anything else you think that, you know, creators can be doing to maximize their time?
Yeah, I just think batch creation. Yeah. Like it depends on the type of channel that you've got. So if I'm creating vlog of a holiday, I can't batch create that stuff. I've got to do it on the move, and I've got to be creating all the time. But if you're like me, I'm in my office most of the time. We've just created the next season of videos that we're going to publish. We've got the list of them now. And those 16, I will create over 4 weeks, four per week.
Right.
I do it on a Saturday morning. And I'll batch film them. I think that's the most efficient way for me and for a lot of the clients I work with. Because if you say I'm going to do one video per week and then something happens in life, which it invariably does, then you've lost. And that consistency, it kind of falls by the wayside. And you think, maybe I'll do it next week.
Yeah.
But you know, you've not done it. So creating four, then having that in the bag, and then creating the next four, and then start publishing the first four. So then the machine is always moving, you know.
I'm working towards that, starting with shorts more because they're a little easier to batch create.
Yep.
And I think the barrier earlier was thinking, okay, I want to batch create 12 or something. And then that's hard to do. So if you're, you know, starting out, maybe you don't have as much ideation ahead of you or experience with creating, it's okay to start with like batch two or three if you can't batch 12 or something. But I absolutely agree, because that's one of the friction points, is like getting set up and getting in the mindset to do a video. And then once you're in the flow, you can do so much more.
Yeah, flow. I mean, flow is so important. I did 20 shorts a month ago when
that's
I had the list in front of me. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get through 20, but we just kept doing, you know, they were only a minute long. I think it took me about 2 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
But
you had them all scripted out, I guess.
Well, just, you know, with that particular set of subjects, I'm confident enough just to say what I needed to say about them. But if they were longer form, I would have had more of a plan. And I think energy is super important. You know, like this is why I said I'm lazy and I have these things ready to go, because you can get fatigue from setting the equipment up. And what I say to people there is like, just if you're in a position where the equipment is annoyed you so much, then just do it the day after, you know, like make sure everything is set up, it's ready. Maybe do your first take as a check that the equipment's good. And then just, if you can, leave it in situ, come back to it the next day and do it. I even did that in my living room. You know, in the UK, your houses are small. So, and if you're not that rich, your houses are small. And so at one point I filmed these videos, 8 of them, and they were out of focus, all of them.
I
was on my own, died a little bit inside, and I was so annoyed. I'd got a few more to do, and I just canned it and did it the next day, and everything was fine. But managing your energy is so important when it comes to video.
I like that. And then, you know how sometimes you'll do some recordings and part of it's okay, like 75% of the video is okay, but there's those scenes that you just kind of realize, oh, I misshot that, or, you know, the lighting was terrible. Like, that does give you the chance to at least go back and do just those few and do it easily, rather than like, oh, I got to set everything up again.
Yeah. Well, B-roll's good for you then in that case. B-roll it out. You could also, like, the other thing is I'm getting more and more of it. It's really hard because my wife is the approver of our videos.
Right.
I had a video company for 7 years. She approved all those videos. So she's been a quality assured approver of video content almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. She's really particular. And that's why I love her. That's not why I love her. Why I love her doing this job
right.
is because she's got this attention to detail that I really lack. So we have that. And then the other side of me is like, I don't mind if there's a little bit out of touch. And actually, there's a guy called Austin Armstrong who does these great shorts, and he's built a huge audience of following across all the socials now. He purposely puts errors in his video because he wants the engagement. So he did one recently where instead of Socrates, he said Socrates or something like that. And I laughed as soon as I saw it because I was like, I know he's just trolling the audience.
Right.
And they will come in and say, you can't even pronounce Socrates, you know. So sometimes I think, and my best shorts video recently was a blooper. I had a blooper where my camera was set and the white balance made me red.
Yeah.
And I put that blooper out. And it just shows like people want that realness. So if you think 75% is good and maybe the lighting's not so good or the sound goes a bit bad sometimes in it, like perhaps just leave it in.
Yeah.
And move to the next one. You know, like you're not going to be judged on that in 10 videos time.
Right.
You can just improve it for the next video because going back to try and improve it, well, as a creator, as an artist, you're always going to want to improve it. You can improving it forever and never get it out there. So sometimes it's better to just park it and move on.
That's the danger. Yeah. Sometimes you go back and you realize, well, I made this part better. Now I realize some of the other shots.
Yeah. No, everything's got to be better. I've got to a new level of skill. And yeah. Like, yeah. Like you could do that forever for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you help YouTube creators?
Yeah, sure. So right now we're going through a transition period. We've just closed our membership, but I've redone my website, kingofvideo.co.uk. So you'll find some good stuff there. We're publishing more blogs and stuff on there. My new season of videos are all about the content that we put on that. And then if you go to links.kingofvideo.co.uk, you'll find links to my Getting Started course. I've got a YouTube bootcamp program, which is like an 8-week program where we go from nothing to like a full channel and process around publishing videos and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, a couple of ways in which I help people.
Yeah, well great conversation today, and I can tell it'd be a great resource for creators, and really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Just wondering if you had a last word here, if there's a creator that's listening and they're feeling overwhelmed by what they need to do and they just want to start with one practical thing they can do for their YouTube channel, what would you say?
One practical thing that you can do. If you've not started, of course, the practical thing you can do is start, because everything gets back after that. Right. And if you have started and you're a little bit down about it because it's not quite going as you think it should be, just focus on being consistent. That consistency is always going to win. Just improve a little bit every single time and you're going to win on YouTube for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's some great advice. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks so much, Tim.
If I could sum up the essence of today's episode in one statement, it would be this. Small channels should develop a focused business strategy that integrates their monetization offerings with their target audience and content pillars. Note that I said develop because when you're just starting out, it's probably not going to be readily apparent what that business strategy should be. I mean, if it were easy, everyone would do it. And the reality is you're probably going to have to go through a period of trial and error to figure out what works for your interests, skill sets, and audience. But the sooner you can get to that clarity, the better chance you're going to give yourself, whether it's audience building, monetization, or both. Let me give you an example from my own experience. If you saw my video from this time last year, you might recall that I had an instinct about the importance of getting more focused in terms of my overall activities as a content creator. And because of that, I did make some more progress in growing my YouTube channel and podcast. But because I still lacked certainty about the overall topics and direction, I still allowed myself to be somewhat distracted by other platforms and random topics from time to time. The difference going into 2024 is that I have more certainty now, not just in terms of the platform focus, but also in terms of the topics and overall direction. And I think that's going to lead to even better results. And another video I have coming up soon, I'm going to talk about a process I've started using to prioritize video topics. But in the meantime, I got one challenge for you, and that's to spend a bit of time thinking about who your content is really for. To help you work through this, I've added a link in the description to a Canva template you can use for that purpose. And don't stress out about it, because the point is really just to start the conversation with yourself, to try and get to a little more clarity. That's going to help you with your YouTube channel or your business.
I hope you found this helpful. If you did, a like or a positive review is always appreciated. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll see you in the next episode.